so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in. Hope you're having a good day so far. Well, I want to tell you something that my guest wrote that I think is such a word for us. She says, the path to our happy place starts with one choice. Hear that? The path to our happy place starts with one choice, whether or not we're kind, especially when we really don't want to be. And I'm going to tell you a quick story about a time back when I could eat dairy. So what it was about, that's not what it's about. But okay, I was probably 17 years old at the mall, and frozen yogurt was the big thing. You could get granola and fruit and all that fun stuff on it. That is what I thought was my happy place. But I was at the mall, and I'm standing in line, and this gal that was serving the yogurt was so crabby. And I don't know what was going on with her story, but she was so crabby that I watched, because I'm just an observer of the human condition. And one by one, people who were standing in line excited to get their yogurt walked away persnickety. I saw one mom just yank her daughter's arm, and she just suddenly took a turn and just was crabby. And one by one, the ripple effect of this woman's crabbiness was so significant. And maybe I was just a little bossy even back then, but I grabbed her arm and I grabbed the manager. I said, hey, could you step in for her? I just want to talk with her for a minute. And I pulled her aside and I said, hey, what's going on? And she's looking at me like, why are you asking me this? And I said, well, you seem really crabby. Is something going on? And she started to share her backstory a little bit, and her eyes welled up with tears. She had a really hard situation, and I just gave her a hug and told her I'd be praying for her, and I hope that you find the help you need, but I want you to know, by letting it out in the way that you are, it's affecting everybody else's day. And so she went back and stood behind the counter and started to serve people. I kind of watched from a distance, and she smiled and she was sweet. And I know it's hard to put a face on, but especially if you're in customer service. But I just saw the ripple effect. It was really amazing. And I probably had no business stepping in and calling a manager in to just help her out while I counseled this gal. But I'm telling you what, have you ever thought about that? The ripple effect of somebody's crabbiness or their kindness? Well, my guest today, Shanti Feldhahn, she's been on the show plenty of times before. She's got an important, timely new book titled The Kindness Challenge, 30 Days to Improve Any Relationship. We'll get her on in just a minute here, but I want to remind you, if you've not signed up yet for our Northwestern Christian Writers Conference, this is going to become one of the anchor Christian Writers Conferences in the country. It's shaping up to be that way with the faculty that we have and the plan that we've got. We've got well over 400 people already registered. It's coming up Saturday, July 15th. If you have a dream to write, I pray you'll not waste another minute. We've made it very affordable. Check it out at NorthwesternChristianWritersConference.com. Also, I'm going to be in the Fargo-Moorhead area in May. I would love to meet you. I'll be at First Assembly on May 5th and May 6th. I hope that you'll join us. Check it out. You can go to firstassembly.fm to get more information on the conference. It's called Extraordinary Expectation. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Social researcher, international speaker Shanti Feldhahn is the author of many groundbreaking books, including For Women Only, For Men Only, The Male Factor, The Surprising Secrets of Highly Happy Marriages, fantastic book, which have sold more than 2 million copies in 24 languages. Shanti's husband, Jeff, is the founder of World21, a game-changing pro-privacy marketing technology. The Feldhahns live in Atlanta with their teenage daughter and son and two cats who actually think they're dogs. Dear Shanti, welcome to the program.
It's always good to be with you.
Well, Shanti, you know this because you've been on plenty of times. We love to start out our conversation talking scripture. And your passage doesn't necessarily even have to tie to your topic, although it can. But if there's just a verse you've been thinking about these days, we'd sure love to hear about it.
You know what? Honestly, it ties in so well to the story you just told. And it ties in well to this topic, actually, which is Philippians 4:8. Because it's the prescription for how we change when we're having a bad day to have a better day, which is this whole this whole idea that the Apostle Paul said of, listen, you're having a bad day, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, pure, lovely, admirable, think about all of those things. Think about the things that are worthy of praise rather than what's worthy of driving you crazy. I'll paraphrase, but that's basically what he's saying. It's amazing when we set our minds on those things, what happens in our hearts.
Oh, indeed, indeed. And I know we'll be able to unpack that even more as we go about and talk about this kindness challenge. But I want you to talk about, because you even tell the story of just how this idea first got your attention to the point where you thought, this bears a little bit more digging.
Yeah, well, actually, it's interesting. One of the main ways that this happened was actually an outcome of the fact that I had been looking back at all of the studies that I'd been doing over the years, and I saw this thread running through them that, you know, because I do all these research studies, right? And, you know, I might be studying men or might be studying teenagers or whatever, but I'm trying primarily to dig out the things that help people thrive in their life and thrive in their relationships. And I realized as I looked back over all these studies that I had done that there's really this one thread of whether you're thriving, it's far more related to how you are treating other people rather than how you yourself are being treated. And if you think about that, we know that's true, right? It's really, it's all about how you're treating others and what that looks like in difficult situations, but we don't know how to do that. And I was, it was fascinating. I was talking to Nancy Lee DeMoss, now Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth, and who's just wonderful. I'm sure you've talked to her many times. And she was telling me about this little challenge that she was giving women in difficult relationships. And I was giving other, you know, women that I was seeing in those kinds of relationships some ideas and seeing these amazing results. And I thought, you know, I need to actually study this. I need to actually figure out what is it that people are doing that really changes everything about their relationship because they have learned how to be kind.
Yeah. Okay, so you're at this conference and a woman stands up because you're talking about how men need to be respected more than that. They would rather feel respected than feel loved. And you had a woman who asked a challenging question because she's like, I don't respect my husband. He's not even earned that respect.
Yeah.
And take this story from there, if you would.
Yes, they were in a difficult place, almost divorced, like that whole thing, right? It was some very real issues. And I didn't know what to answer her. But I shared what Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth, you know, what she had shared with me, a couple of ideas, and it sort of formed the core of what I would study years later, what we call the 30-day kindness challenge. So I said, try these things for 30 days. And, you know, and she kind of grimaced and sat down, you know, at the end of that time. And, you know, normally I fly away and I never hear the end of the story. I'm sure you've seen the same thing, right? You don't often hear the end of the story. Well, 3 years later, I'm back in that same state. I'm in a completely different part of the state doing a completely different type of event. And another woman stands up and asks a similar question. And I'm further down the road of the research now. And so she says, you know, what if I don't respect my husband? What do I do? And I tell her, try the 30-day kindness challenge. And I share these things. And she goes, okay. And she sits down. And another woman raises her hand and stands up. But she didn't have a question. She looked at the first lady and she said, if you will do what she just said, if you'll really do this 30-day kindness challenge, you'll find it changes everything. And she looked at me and said, you won't remember me. But 3 years ago, you came to my church in a completely different part of the state, and my marriage was practically over, and, you know, I didn't know what to do, and I asked a similar question, and you gave me a similar answer, and everything in me wanted to ignore everything that you said. But I didn't want my kids to grow up in a broken home, and so I did it, and it changed everything. And she started to cry, and of course, like, I'm starting to cry, and she said, I realized how much of our issues, yeah, there were some real issues that he had. He had some addictions and that kind of thing, but she said, I had no idea how many problems I was causing. I had no idea how many of our problems could be traced to some of my ways. And it opened my eyes, and I started to reach out to him doing these things, and it softened his heart, and he got less defensive, and he reached back out, and that made it easier to keep going. And, you know, she said, 3 years later, our marriage is amazing. We have an amazing marriage, and we're so happy. And she actually said that they were starting to be marriage mentors at their church.
Wow.
because they had come so far. And it wasn't, and the thing that was so powerful to me was when she said, we love being married. It's not perfect. These little actions, this little method of retraining yourself in kindness toward another person, it didn't solve those big issues, but it made them so much easier to solve.
Well, you imagine, Shanti, that when you start to aim to be kind and you're intentional about it, you're forced to reckon with what you've been doing before that, because we have muscle memory, you know? It's like we go and default to our habit, and you don't even know how often maybe you roll your eyes or you breathe a heavy sigh or throw a sock or whatever it is you do until you start being kind, and then you realize, I've been something different than kind.
Yeah, well, and especially because one of the elements of the 30-Day Kindness Challenge is to withhold negativity and to not say these negative things, and we don't even realize that we're doing it. And when you're not allowed to do that for 30 days, oh my gosh, you see it everywhere. And I will be the first to confess, I had no idea how often I was negative until I had to actually start doing this myself once I, you know, started the research and realized I'm negative every single day, because we identified there are actually 7 completely different types of negativity that most of us don't even realize we're doing. And everybody has at least one pattern, and many of us have 2 or 3. And one of mine is exasperation. And I realized I'm negative every day because I get exasperated all the time with my kids. And I don't realize that when I, like, you know, if I worked really hard on my homework with my son and then he, you know, forgets it the next day and I'm exasperated, I'm like, buddy, and I kind of have that tone in my voice, I don't realize that what I'm saying is, you're an idiot. And would I ever say those words out loud to my sweet, sensitive 14-year-old son? Of course not. But that's what I'm saying. And so it's really, it's like you said, I had a muscle memory towards exasperation, and I had to completely retrain myself to have this instead a muscle memory toward calmness and kindness. And that is a story that has been repeated thousands of times over as we've gone through this research.
Wow, so good. Talking to Shanti Feldon. So when we come back, I want to talk about these: exasperation, irritation, pointing out mistakes, that's one, and sarcasm, grumbling, you hurt me, I hurt you, suspicion, catastrophizing. We'll find ourselves in this somehow. Email if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Please remember your mailing address. We've got 3 copies of this hardcover, amazing book, The Kindness Challenge, 30 Days to Improve Any Relationship. Back in a moment. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Shanti Feldon. Her new book is titled The Kindness Challenge, 30 Days to Improve Any Relationship. But we're going to talk about some of these ways we're unkind that we don't even realize. And you say we have this kind of kindness blindness, that we tend to be more negative than we think we are, and we're blind to how other people feel about our unkindness. Okay, that's a tough pill to swallow, but it's so true. So start there and unpack that if you would.
Sure. Well, see, the thing is that we all think we're already kind.
Yeah.
I guarantee that everybody listening to this is like, but I'm already a kind person. Like, that's a huge value for most of us. Mm. And yeah, I mean, in the research, I certainly never came across anyone who said that they thought that they weren't. I mean, most of us do. And yet we don't realize that there are all of these ways every day that we are truly actually not being the kind people we think we are, and that certainly that we want to be. And it's really, truly a blindness. It is a blind spot. And there is only one way to actually see this stuff, which is to try it and actually allow God to open your eyes. And so do you mind if I explain the 30-Day Kindness Challenge first?
Let's do that, like, first. Great idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because this ends up being the boot camp to get our sort of kindness muscles back in shape and open our eyes and get rid of this kindness blindness. And so here's what you do. You pick one person that you want a better relationship with. Now, it could be, let's just say you've got a difficult marriage situation. You know, it could be your spouse. Or, you know, maybe you've got a great marriage. You just want to make it better. Maybe it's not your spouse at all. Maybe it's your child. I've been doing the 30-Day Kindness Challenge for my 16-year-old daughter. Because she's a great kid, but, you know, she's 16, and she can roll her eyes at the best of them, right?
Yeah.
And I really want to strengthen our relationship. Or, you know, maybe it's your stepfather or your colleague that drives you nuts. Like, whoever it is, pick that person. And for 30 days, you do 3 things. you say nothing negative about that person, either to them or about them to somebody else. And that is often where we sabotage our relationship, and we don't realize it. Because, like, if I'm in a difficult season with, let's just say I'm in a difficult season with my husband, and I'm upset because I've asked him to do something 3 or 4 times and he hasn't done it. If I can be polite to him, but if I go to my girlfriends at work and I complain that he hasn't, you know, fixed whatever it is, I don't realize it, but I'm sabotaging how I feel about him. Hmm. And I'm sabotaging the relationship, and I would never think of it this way, I'm training myself to be an unkind person. And so that's the first part of the challenge, is say nothing negative about them, either to them or about them. So that's the first thing. Second thing is every day for 30 days is to find one thing you can sincerely praise, you can sincerely affirm about that person, and you tell them and you tell somebody else. So, you know, I can't complain that my husband isn't fixing something, but I'm looking for things to praise, you know. So I notice, you know, he does come home early quite a lot to help with the kids. And so, you know, I tell him, thank you for doing this. And then I go to my girlfriends at work and I say, you know what he did yesterday? And you tell this nice story of something he did. And this is back to that Philippians 4:8. You're thinking on the things that are lovely and excellent and worthy of praise rather than what's worthy of driving you crazy. You're going to start to see those things a lot more often and see less of the things that drive you crazy. They just won't loom as large.
And there is a brain factor in this too, Shanti, isn't there? Because
very
you're
much.
Retraining your brain to notice things, because we establish a filter based on the things we're looking for.
Very much. It's interesting. I'm not a psychologist. I'm a researcher, right?
Well, but I play one on radio, so no, I'm just
I
kidding.
I know.
I'm totally
this is
kidding.
The stuff that you know.
No, it isn't.
But
keep going.
But you know, I mean, the people who have the training, you know, they one of the things that they talk about all the time is this whole idea of a positive override or a negative override, which sounds very psychological speak, but it's very true. Like, you really, truly will notice those good things that you just were kind of, you knew they were there, but you didn't give them as much credit before, and these other things were driving you more crazy, so you started to notice them, and you started to see even good things that maybe you're a wife, and your husband's trying to do things for you, and you're thinking to yourself, you're only doing that because, you know, I'll get mad if you don't. Like, you don't even give him credit for the real good stuff. And that's an example of when you start sincerely finding something every day to praise, that element number two of the kindness challenge, and you tell that person and somebody else, you are starting to give yourself that positive override. It's not like it's new stuff. It was there. You just weren't focusing on it. So that's the first two things. The third thing every day that you do for 30 days is to do a small act of kindness, a small action of generosity. And now, okay, so maybe it's not your spouse. Maybe it is your mother-in-law. And maybe you don't really like getting on the phone with her because it's frustrating and whatever, and she needs time on the phone with you today and you don't really have time, but you know you give her that 15 minutes anyway. And it's just a little action of generosity. But we found it says to the other person in this kind of subconscious way, it says, you're valuable. I care about you. And if you do those three things for 30 days, here's what's remarkable. We found in our, because we did this big national study on this, 89% of relationships improved. 89%. Now, just so you know, from a social research perspective, as I'm sure you do know, that's a huge number. Like, we don't see numbers like that. And I have to confess, I thought our spreadsheet was broken at first. I thought that can't be right. And then I looked at it more, you know, in depth and a little more detail, and I realized, you know what? It makes perfect sense that 89% of relationships would improve. Because what you're doing, I mean, sure, you're by doing this for 30 days, absolutely you're impacting the other person. But the biggest thing that you're doing is you're completely changing you. So it makes perfect sense that 89% of relationships would improve.
Boy, I know that I've read about this, and we've covered this whole idea of the brain function several times in different ways on the show. It's fascinating to me. I wish I could remember the process, but it's the process by which when something starts to matter to you, you notice it, positive and negative. But it's the very reason why as soon as you're pregnant for the first time, everywhere you turn, you see pregnant people. Now, it's not like all of a sudden more people are getting pregnant. You just notice them. Or you get a white car, and you're like, man, everybody's driving a white car. Well, you just notice it because your brain is attuned to that. And so that is where we do have a choice, Shanti, isn't it, as far as what we decide to fix our attention on? I mean, the Bible wouldn't call us to it if we weren't empowered to do that.
Yeah, this is this area, and this is what I'd really encourage so many people who are listening to this and kind of on the edge. My guess is that everybody listening to this has that person that they're thinking of right now. Like, they've got that name in their mind of who they feel like they're supposed to do this for. And my guess is that probably if you have that name in your mind, it's because you've been noticing the bad stuff more. It's because there's been that tension. It's because, and it's just that irritation, the frustration. And let me tell you, those things are very real. It's not like I'm downplaying them and saying that, you know, you're sort of making it all up or it's all in your head. No, those are very real situations. It's just that in most cases, now, sadly, not all, but statistically, the vast majority of cases, it's more than 99%. The vast majority of cases, when you're in a personal relationship with someone, like in a marriage or with your child, the other person deeply cares about you, deeply cares about you. It's that often you've gotten sideways. You've been maybe trying, like maybe you're married, you've been both trying hard, and you don't realize you're maybe trying hard in the wrong areas. And so, you know, maybe not, they're not making you feel cared for, and so it's easy to notice those irritations. Or maybe they've been hurting your feelings and you don't realize you've been hurting theirs. And so you notice that those frustrations, those irritations a lot more. This is a crucial way that God uses to retrain our brains.
Boy, so good. Talking to Shanti Feldhahn today, author of the book, The Kindness Challenge, 30 Days to Improve Any Relationship. If you've got a question, include it in your email. We're not taking calls today, but I'd love to get your name on the drawing. I need your mailing address, though, to mail you a book. So I'd love for you to email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Again, mailing address. Got a question or comment about how somebody else's kindness has impacted you? I would love to know. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about some of these ways that we're unkind, just so we can help identify our patterns, and then we're going to talk about some of the benefits of kindness. Really, you'll be amazed. You'll be amazed. More with Shanti Feldhahn in a minute. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to my friend Shanti Feldhahn. I love this woman. She's written an amazing new book titled The Kindness Challenge, 30 Days to Improve Any Relationship. And prior to the break, she really made the case for, you know, what we set our minds on is that's what we start to notice, just as Scripture says, you know, think on what is right and praiseworthy and good. And boy, this is such a fantastic conversation. And we have to go here so that we can better know how to be kind. So let's talk just for a bit about our patterns of unkindness. The first one you identified is exasperation, irritation, pointing out mistakes. And you say, for some, this may be their lane, but we all maybe don't have an idea of how often we go to this place.
I think a lot of us.
Right.
Well, not you.
No, of course. You're so funny. As long as we're clear on that.
Yes, exactly, because you're one of the sweetest people ever.
So funny.
Well, you are. Your listeners need to know that. Mm-hmm. You actually are. She's the real deal. When I've met her out offside the radio, she really is the way she appears on air.
She's so sweet.
It's true. But we also all have that inner thing where it's just easy for us to get irritated. And this is one of those things that we don't realize how often we do it. And so you go, okay, so if I'm not being negative about this person for 30 days, that includes I can't get exasperated, I can't get irritated, I can't kind of make a point of showing that, like, you just didn't do that correctly. Mm-hmm. You know, that's something that's a big problem for me. And so this is one of those areas where, like, for example, let me just give an example. How often do, if you're a woman listening to this, how often does your husband or your child do the dishes or put the dishes in the dishwasher, and you look at them and go, oh, goodness, and you come along behind them and, like, change it, like, put them in the right way? It's like pointing out, you made a mistake here. You didn't do a good job. And that is something that's, we maybe even don't have the role of the eyes, and yet it's still sending the message of irritation and exasperation with how they're doing something.
Would you go so far as to say is when we do this and we're not even paying attention, it's like we're taking a withdrawal from the account, so to speak? Because I'll even see this, you know, you'll see this in malls where you'll see a wife walking ahead of the husband and she's spouting and he's kind of back there feeling deflated.
God.
And I know it can go both ways. But when you see that dynamic, you think this is actually hurting you guys. I don't care what you're upset about. This is hurting you, right?
Yeah, the way that you're doing this.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, you may have a very legitimate complaint. There may be a very real issue that needs to be addressed. Like, for example, we were talking at the very beginning about that woman that I met 3 years later who had tried this and had changed everything. Her husband had some actual addiction issues. It's not like those weren't real.
Yeah.
It's just that how she was addressing it was causing all sorts of other issues in the relationship. And once she decided to do a one-sided effort to not focus just on those, but on all these other good things and the fact that he was an amazing dad and all these other things that were truly wonderful about him, suddenly those issues that you can really complain about, you can get frustrated about, they tend to diminish to a right size that you can deal with. And that's in one of the other types of negativity, is this whole idea of, we don't think of ourselves as complaining or as grumbling, but that's often what we're doing. You know, we're being critical. This is actually, we can even be critical to ourselves. I mean, this 30-day kindness challenge, I know a few people who are like, I need to do this for myself because I beat myself up all the time. I'm like, absolutely. You know, that anytime that you're noticing the stuff that isn't being done right, the stuff that, you know, well, that could have been done better, this is something we need to work on.
Hmm. And again, remembering this is not only for the relationship, the person who's the object of your kindness, but it does something for your own soul. Because the Bible says your own soul is nourished when you are kind. There is something supernatural about it. Okay, so we talked exasperation, irritation. Sarcasm is another way of being unkind.
Mm-hmm. This is something where a lot of people go, oh, you know, you kind of wince, because a lot of us kind of enjoy that, you know, sarcastic banter back and forth. You know, I don't know about you, but in our family, we love playing games and we love trash talking, you know. And listen, all of that, that's fine. It's not like that's bad in itself. The problem is that what we found, and this is what the research has found, is that that's okay occasionally. Once it becomes more than occasional, it actually starts to create a sense of doubt inside the other person. Like, they might laugh along with you, but on the inside, they're kind of going, do they mean that? And they start to put up a little bit of a wall. And so what we say is, if you are 100% positive, 100% positive, that this person that you're talking to, that they know you have 100% goodwill towards them, you love them absolutely, completely, unconditionally, and you always will, then it's fine. You can joke, whatever. But if there's any question, then it's generally not that fine. And even if there's 100% goodwill, if you do it all the time, it can actually create that doubt. So just be aware of that in a way that maybe you weren't aware of it before.
Especially if you misuse sarcasm, because certain amount of bantering, as you say, in a safe relationship, it's fun to be snarky. But if you even once hide a message in your humor, it is no longer safe territory, because no matter what you say, you start to wonder, wait, what? You know, and that suddenly there's mistrust there, isn't there?
Yeah, very much. And the other person starts to put up a wall. And think about it. Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to do the same thing. If someone has that sense of snappy sarcasm, that cynical thing, that little bit of trash talking where you're kind of like, ooh.
There's a barb in there. Yeah.
Did they mean that? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You would do the same thing. And so this is one thing for a family especially, or a group of friends that spends a lot of time with that kind of sarcasm. Here's one of the things that we found is that, and you probably recognize this, is that when you're talking that way, then you start to actually say something sincere, everybody's going to look around the room like, okay, when's someone going to say the punchline? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, nobody's allowed to be sincere, truly sincere. Like, you know, that was a really kind thing that you did. Everybody's waiting for the ba-dum-bum.
Like, right, exactly.
But, yeah, but too bad you tripped over your own shoes on the way out the door, you know.
And so then
you put up the wall. So enough of that, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, very, very good.
The people who are listening to this, they know.
Exactly.
They know.
All right, exasperation, sarcasm. We talked on grumbling. How about this one? You hurt me, I hurt you.
Oh, yeah. This is actually one that's not, this isn't as much mine, but I heard this everywhere in the research, is that it's this idea of stuff that's happened in the past. It tends to get stuck on a loop in your mind, you know, and it's also very easy if somebody's done something to prick you, you want to prick them back. And this right here is one of the reasons we see this trend in our culture for saying things on social media that you would never say in person.
Yeah.
Ever. You know, you look at some of the things, you're like, would you ever say that to someone face-to-face? Absolutely not. But why did you do that? It's because you gave into this impulsive tendency to, well, you hurt me, I hurt you. You know, this is what I'm going to do because you deserve to know how that feels. And you know what? All we're doing, and we all kind of know this, especially those of us who want to follow Jesus, we all kind of know. All we're doing, we're really only hurting ourselves.
Yeah. Wow. This next one, suspicion, I love for you to unpack this one. My first thought, just glancing at that, I wonder if there's an aspect, I'd love for you to speak to it, is when you have a victim mentality to the point where the only way even in that the equation works is if they're the wrong one, you're the right one, you're being kind out of your martyrness, do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And you're suspicious
Absolutely.
Of everybody else versus going, there's most always two parties, and can I be a person who can rise up and be kind without having it fit into this equation? You know, after all that everybody does to me, I'm still being kind to other people. Do you know what I'm saying? It seems a recipe for a kind of a victim mentality.
Yeah, and that's actually one of the reasons also why sometimes it's very hard for us to give praise to the other person. You know, that whole idea of, okay, you know, one of the elements of the 30-Day Kindness Challenge is to find the things to praise. And sometimes that makes it hard when we've got that martyr kind of thing. Mm. Nobody thinks of themselves as having a martyr mentality. And so it's really important to actually be very honest when you look at this. And one of the things that we did just to help us grasp with this, as we were going through the lists of the different types of negativity and kindness that kind of sneak in without us kind of intending it, I put quotes there from the actual interviews and from the research of, this is the kind of thing, if you find yourself thinking this or saying this, this might be you. And you're like, and one of the classic examples is, I was talking to a group of men and women who were in a pretty dysfunctional work environment, and you often heard them say things like, oh, Brian's keeping me out of the loop, isn't he? You know, or, oh, you know, I think so-and-so forgot to send, they said they just forgot to send me that packet, but you know what, I don't think they forgot. I think they just didn't want me involved.
Wow.
You know, that kind of stuff. Okay, maybe it's true, maybe it's not, but you are not doing yourself and your mindset and your heart any favors by focusing on that. It makes such a difference if you will say, I love what you said, Susie. Seriously, there are two sides to every story. And you know what? If you start focusing on the other side, okay, maybe they were trying to keep you out of the loop because you're so darn negative to work with.
Yeah,
focusing on the other side, you might suddenly be in the loop a little bit more.
You know, you think about, Scripture talks about love believes the best. I mean, to me, that's in 1 Corinthians 13. You know, it's about giving the benefit of the doubt. I mean, I think if we had any idea that most of the time that we think people are thinking about us, they're just not. And the very few that are, as you said, we may be like have sticky tape because we're so, you know, overanalyzing what people might be thinking. And I just think to rise up and to take this kindness challenge might be just exactly your what you need. Okay, this last one, catastrophizing. Boy, I can go there. I'll just say it.
Mm-hmm.
I can so go
I
there.
I can too.
Yeah, talk about this one.
My second one.
Yeah, okay.
My first of the seven, my first was exasperation. This was my second one for me. Unfortunately, I'm telling you and all of my best friends listening to this. But, and this is, I think, honestly, this is one of the reasons why our culture has gotten so unkind, is because I didn't even know catastrophizing was a word until I started this research. I'll just confess, I might be a writer, but that doesn't mean I know my vocabulary. I didn't know it was a word. But it turns out it's that tendency to think, oh, man, if this thing happens, it's going to be a catastrophe. That's what that is, that feeling like, oh, my goodness. Like, and you saw every conceivable side of the election last year going, oh, if so-and-so gets elected, or oh, if he says this, or oh, if she does this, it's going to be a catastrophe. And you know what? That the thing that we need to recognize is we might be, like if we say, oh, my gosh, if she marries him, that's going to be a catastrophe. Oh, my gosh, if this happens with my daughter's, you know, thing with the grades, it's going to be a catastrophe. Okay, you know what? I'm not disputing that. Like, that might actually be true. The problem is that in addressing that and confronting that, we often become remarkably unkind. Mm. And it's because we feel so strongly about it that the consideration of kindness and respect and calmness and joy and looking on the things that are excellent and lovely and worthy of praise, all that gets swept aside because we're trying so hard to avoid this catastrophe happening.
Which is driven by fear, isn't it, Shanti?
Very much so driven by fear. And so that's the starting point. We have to confront this as a, you know what, sometimes we're actually creating a worse problem than the one we're trying to solve. And I think if every single one of us in this culture will put our kindness hat on and, like, think through this stuff, I can't control what other people post on social media, but I can control what I say. I can't control how somebody responds to me. They yell at me. They flip me the finger on the highway. They whatever. I can control how I handle that interaction, though. And that's where the story you told at the beginning is brilliant, is our little choices to have that approach of how I'm going to treat other people today, that choice, little by little by little, one person at a time, that is how we as the body of Christ are going to change our culture. It just is.
Amen. Talking to Shanti Feldhahn today. So her 30-day kindness challenge is you pick your person, and for one, you say nothing negative about that person to their face, behind their back, whatever. Every day you find something to sincerely praise or affirm, not only to them, but to others. And something happens in your spirit, in your brain, as you're talking great about that person. Every day, do a small act of kindness or generosity for that person. Imagine if a revival of kindness broke out. When we come back for this last segment, we're going to talk about some of the benefits of kindness. What really happens relationally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. It is phenomenal. Title of Shanti's book is The Kindness Challenge, 30 Days to Improve Any Relationship. It's a hardcover book packed with wisdom, researched, hard-fought wisdom. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your mailing address if you want in on the drawing. More great conversation up ahead. You know, God takes our gestures, our faith, our hope, our love, our seeds that we plant, our seeds of kindness. The Bible even says you sow in kindness, you reap in kindness. And it's amazing. He loves our hearts so much, our hearts of faith, that he moves on every act prompted by our faith. We're talking today about the Kindness Challenge. That's the title of the book Shanti Feldhahn just wrote and released, and it's amazing. And her challenge, the 30-day kindness challenge, you don't have to wait till a new month. I mean, today, pick today. And for 30 days, target somebody in your life. Maybe ask God who he'd have you target. And one, you say nothing negative about them. You don't roll your eyes. You don't breathe a heavy sigh. You say nothing negative to them or behind their back. Every day you find one thing that you can sincerely praise and affirm, not only to them, but praise them to someone else, because it's good for your soul to do that. And then thirdly, every single day do some kind of small act of kindness or generosity for that person. So in the book, Shanti, you outline some of the benefits of kindness. One of them is you say that kindness makes you bulletproof. I love that. Say more if you would.
Well, this is essentially the fact that when you will actually do this, and there's a host of these things we identify, these little things that happen in your heart. When you do take these steps and train yourself in true kindness, it actually changes how you experience things emotionally, and you take away another person's power to fire emotional bullets at you. Mm. And I'll give you an example, because I always learn better from examples. So let's just say we're in that hypothetical scenario on a busy highway,
okay.
driving our car. We're in a hurry to get somewhere, and it's one of those where, you know, the two lanes of traffic are filing down into one, and you're waiting your turn in the long line. And then there's that person that speeds along the side of you all the way down to the front, and they want to cut in. And you are like, oh, no, you didn't. I waited my turn, and I'm going to get mine, basically. And you pull up on the bumper of the car in front of you. You're like, you are not getting in here, buddy. And your steam is coming out of your ears. We all know what this feels like, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, okay, so now picture same situation, same line, cars speeding down, but you don't stand on your rights. And instead, the guy does not deserve it in any way, shape, or form, but you wave him in with a smile, and he's like, no, it's okay, go on in. And think of what happens to you. Doesn't that stress just lift off your shoulders? You have just that stress, that whatever, that teeth-gritting thing, that's gone. You have taken away the power of that rude person to make you crazy.
And if I could take it even to another dimension, so to speak, because I've been there before in so many ways. And again, when fear and stress drive you, you think you're so right. I have to get to my appointment. If I'm late, blah, 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 blah. And we play it all out. But I remember one day, Lord just speaking to me saying, again, my will for you in this moment doesn't contradict my ultimate will for you. And you can trust me in these moments to ultimately work out the way that your day should go. I mean, really, Shanti, it is like entering into a new level, I think, of faith engagement to say, you call me to be kind. Love is patient. Love is kind. I'm going to do that now, knowing you're going to take care of the rest of my day. And if it doesn't work out like I think, ultimately you're in control, God. But I feel like that helps us learn to live out of that abiding place rather than think that he might be looking away at this particular moment, you know?
Yeah, or that we somehow get an exemption.
Right, exactly.
From his ultimate calling. Mm. Because, I mean, think about it. For just, you know, as we think about it, we know the answer to this. Which is more important? Like, everybody knows, which is more important, getting to my doctor's appointment on time or actually being Jesus in that moment and living out the character of Jesus. And the thing that I realized I had to confront as I was doing this for myself and my relationships, and really, like, it was hitting me over the head, like, every day as I'm in the middle of this research process, the thing that I had to confront is I bought into this idea that, you know, oh, it's okay for me to be unkind and irritated and exasperated or whatever, you know, in those situations where somebody is truly being mean. Like, okay, I get this exemption, right? Like, you know, because mm-hmm. I need to stand up to them instead. And you know what? Actually, no.
Mm-hmm.
If we look at, we all teach our kids the golden rule, right? Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. And it, you know, we think it's this sweet sentiment. It's all over the world as, you know, one of these things that's a great thing to teach our kids. You know, you look at the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus actually said this, and it is not a sweet sentiment. It is fascinating. He is actually talking there about exactly these kinds of situations where there is active injustice against you, active cruelty, active meanness. Somebody is stealing from you, for example. And he said, look, if you treat the people that are nice to you in a kind way, I'm sorry, you don't get credit for that. Like, everybody does that.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm calling you to do is to treat that person who's being mean and cruel and unjust in the kind and generous way you wish they were treating you. That is the high calling for us as Christians.
Yeah.
And that's why I really encourage, if somebody's listening to this and going, I know I need to do the 30-Day Kindness Challenge, don't lose that thought. Like, sign up for it. Like, actually be purposeful. Don't let that go, because it really, truly will. It will change your life, truly.
Hmm. Very good. Okay, makes you bulletproof, but you also say it disarms the attacker. That's really true. People don't expect to receive kindness for their cruelty. As you said, in some ways, we're blind to some of our rude ways, especially with people we're familiar with. But when we're being just plain rude to humanity, I think sometimes we know it. And so for someone to respond with kindness, that would be a disarming response.
Yeah. I love how the Bible says that when you're responding in this way, you're heaping burning coals on their head. because the other person goes, oh, I was mean, wasn't I? Mm. And it truly does. It takes that ability to keep firing bullets really out of their hands. It's like, oh, gosh, I'm sorry. Like, you know, that rude person that was being mean to you in the car, they may not look like it, but there's probably something in them that they feel kind of bad. And this is an area that we have to recognize. We need to do it whether they do or not. You know, this is the kind of area that we're called to be unconditionally kind regardless. But there is this side benefit of the fact that it changes the dynamic around us as well.
Hmm. We've got just about a minute and a half, Shanti, before we pray, and there's so many more of these that I wanted to read. It gives you X-ray vision, melts through walls, opens locked doors, passes along power. Fantastic. The last one, I think, is a good one to land on. Just kindness requires heroic self-sacrifice, and that really is how Jesus led. Say a word if you would about that one before we pray.
Yeah, this is essentially the fact that we call it a superpower. Really, kindness is a superpower. And yet, if we're going to be kind of like a superhero exercising this supernatural power that God has given us, the thing that is the hallmark of every true hero, really, which is what we're called to be, is self-sacrifice. Like doing this one-sided, not because we're going to get attention for it or not even expecting it to be noticed. People always ask, should I tell, like if I'm going to do this for my husband or I'm going to do the 30-day kindness challenge for my wife or my child, should I tell them that I'm doing it? And certainly do it in whatever way works for you. A lot of couples do this together, for example. But if there's some issues in the relationship, we often say, you know what, don't tell them. Just do this very one-sided, expecting nothing in return, even expecting that it won't even be noticed. Don't expect kudos, because that's conditional kindness.
Yeah.
That's conditional love. You're doing it to feel better and get a pat on the back, and instead truly approach this in a one-sided way. That is that transformative thing where God takes that action on your part and does this supernatural thing of changing hearts and changing minds. But, you know, the biggest thing that's going to change is your own heart and your own mind.
Boy, it's such a good point. If you're kind and you're expecting a certain response and then you're mad when you don't get it, that's not letting go of the seed. I'd say it's like a seed that has to go underground for a while, and it's an invisible change before you see the fruit of it. And this is such an important conversation. I pray you'll come back, Shanti, and we can pick up where we left off. But as we wrap here, wondering if you pray for that person listening, knowing that they need to do this. This is their very next step.
Yes, Lord. Yeah, absolutely. Let's pray for them. Lord, Lord, right now I know there's so many people who have a heart just longing to improve a relationship, a relationship that they want to be a positive one, a joyful one, a loving one. Lord, right now I pray you'd give them the impetus to actually commit to this, to sign up for this, to say, this is what I'm going to do, and to do it joyfully, regardless of whether they think it's being noticed. But Lord, I pray that as they start that process, that you would open their eyes and that they would get the encouragement of having those aha moments everywhere and then the encouragement of seeing the response in the other person. Lord, I ask that you would do something transformative in the lives and the hearts of everybody listening.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Shanti Feldhahn, title of her book, The Kindness Challenge. You've been listening to Live the Promise. In just a bit, a podcast will be up on our website at myfaithradio.com. I'll meet you back here next time.